And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful, blustery Northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live weeknights, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network, our flagship network. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live on our YouTube channel. Links to each broadcasting venue available at HagmanandHagman.com. Just simply go down, scroll down to the bottom area there. And you've got the phone numbers for listening live through the satellite. I mean, all the options are there for you. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and the Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you so much for your emails, for your kind words, for your letters of support. Very much appreciated. The emails start rolling in, mother, 24/7, basically, so from all over the world. We really appreciate the kind words you have for all of us. And for those new to the program, we dig deep into topics that the mass media won't and never will, of course, and get to the bottom. Look at the conspiratorial aspects of history and of current events and dissect those events accordingly. Portions of the night's broadcast, folks, brought to you by Pro Flowers. Now, you know, let me ask you guys something. The men out there, have you... Are you all set for Valentine's Day? Are you? How about your wife, your mom? You got that covered? No? I'm hearing no. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to direct you to proflowers.com. That's right, proflowers.com. Go there. And in the microphone box in the upper right-hand corner, enter our microphone code, Hagman. That's right, Hagman. H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Real simple. And that'll take you to our special place at proflowers.com. And later I'll tell you the very special, special deal they have for Hagman and Hagman listeners. That's right, listeners of this program. But now, I'll tell you, we got a very good show for you planned for tonight. Very good show planned. Author Dan Goodwin, and author and evangelist Dan Goodwin, are going to be on top of the next hour, staying with us for the remainder of that show, or the show.
He's the author of God's Final Jubilee. He's been a speaker at the Prophecy in the News conferences, and we had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing him, both meeting him at the conference and listening to him give one of his presentations, as well as doing the interview for the Prophecy in the News DVD. He is a very smart man, and again, his book, God's Final Jubilee, he has a new edition out. You can't actually buy the old one. The new edition, God's Final Jubilee, has three or four additional chapters, as well as other information that he has added on that we will talk about with him when he joins us.
Actually, it's it's an interesting book. You know, we've got a lot to talk about with him tonight. Now, from our resident expert of all things Baltic Dry Index, Larry, from Santa Clarita.
How's it looking today?
Well, lost down another point to close at a new record low of 297.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a hidden 9, actually. Hidden 18, whatever you want. I mean, or actually hidden 3. You know, in occult numerology, I suppose. When you look at these figures, and I do believe that the figures are such that the numbers are such that, well, in addition to being a very dismal, offering a very dismal window into what's coming, I think that these numbers here tell a specific tale. You just have to look at these.
I talked with economist Jerry Robinson today. He's going to be joining us on the 17th, Wednesday, February 17th. Followthemoney.com is his website. And I did not get a chance to ask him about the Baltic Dry Index, but I would like to know, at what point does panic mode set in, or will it go unnoticed? And if unreported, you can't hear it, you can't see it, it doesn't affect me kind of mentality.
Yeah, that's interesting, because how many people really heard of the Baltic Dry Index before it started really tanking, or even before 2008? It's been around since 1985, and now it's just become a...
People have been familiar with it. I just don't think that attention's been paid to it, nor its importance been really... I mean, when you have the Dow Jones fluctuating hundreds of points and financial and currency crashes across, you know, different parts of the world to bailouts and bail-ins and all the financial manipulation that we've seen over the last few years, even with metals and commodities, the Baltic Dry Index has never been an issue. But now it appears it is a very serious one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, indeed. So for those of you watching and listening, if you're listening to this and you're saying, man, these guys sound a little bit, whatever.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Everyone here it's like a ward on a tuberculosis floor of hospitals. They still have those? I don't think they do. That shows you how old I am. Anyway, yeah, everyone's hacking and coughing and you know.
A little stuffy.
Oh, man, everyone's stuffed up and... You know, so give us a little bit of space, all right? And as you would want to, yeah. So, anyway, a lot of issues tonight, a lot of things going on in the news, and you know, we have, of course, the Super Bowl coming up, Super Bowl 50. It's interesting.
Super Bowl 50.
Yeah. Remember, we had Super Bowl Xlex last year. Xlex. All right. It's 49. Roman numerology. This is the first year they're using Arabic numbers or numbers. You might think, well, so what? Well, yeah, we're going to watch in this Super Bowl, the halftime show, very closely, because there's something not right about all of this. Now, you know, you might think it's just BS, but...
And to be honest with you, I'm going to watch the whole Super Bowl.
Why?
I hope so. You know,
when is it on?
It's on Sunday.
This Sunday?
Probably 6:30. And
that's my question.
You know, since we started doing the radio show, and I've told people this on air, I've been a huge football fan all my life. And my dad used to take me to, I'm a Bills fan, Buffalo Bills. And my dad used to take me to the Buffalo Miami games when they were in Buffalo, back when Dan Marino and Jim Kelly would play each other, and Buffalo actually was a good team. And, you know, those were so much fun always to do that. And I've been a big fan ever since, as my grandfather was a big fan, my family has been big fans.
Is Joe Namath, is he still playing?
Joe Namath, no, he's not playing. I think he retired maybe, I don't know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. But the amount of football I used to watch, I was the kind of guy who would watch football not only when my team was playing, but I would want to watch any game that was on. You know, Monday Night Football, both 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games Saturdays when the playoffs came around, I'd be sure to watch every single playoff game. Once this show started, my interest in football was taken away from me. It's not that I lost interest or didn't...
We robbed a promo, actually.
No.
I know. It's just
interesting, you know. I was talking with Matt Peterson last Friday, and we talked about how the Lord will do things in your life, and he'll take things away and put attributes in your life that are needed for what his purposes are. And football was one of those things that was unnecessary in my life, and it was I could tell you who the players were, what their stats were, what the records were, and obviously the Lord had more important uses for the space that I have left in my mind. But the Super Bowl, every year, it's almost like a Christmas thing. You get together with friends, family, you have a little party, and you enjoy it. So that's why I'll be watching the Super Bowl.
Well, that's good. Yeah. You caught me just responding to something here. All right. Thank you. And, We're going to be watching. Indeed, we are going to be monitoring, at least here at the studios. I'm going to be coming in probably an hour before, maybe 2 hours before, and staying an hour or two afterwards. But, and I only say that because I'm going to be watching very closely, not just the Super Bowl halftime, but also the potential for something to happen. There's something not right, folks. I'm telling you right now, there's something not right about this.
2 years ago, Eric, the lights went out at the stadium.
Yeah,
2 years ago, there was one of the rarest malfunctions. The lights at the stadium went out for minutes, at least minutes. You know, not since the, I think it was 87 Baseball World Series where they had the earthquake in San Francisco where they were playing. Had we seen such an oddity at a football game? But yeah, the Super Bowl, as with every large event, sporting event, there is the potential for something to happen.
Well,
and some people hype it up as you know, it's guaranteed going to happen
because
subtle clues are always left all you know they're left there for people to pick up on like that, but you just never know.
Exactly. And folks, if you're just joining us, this is an invitation for all of you to, if you're at home and listening on your computer, pull up a chair here at the conference table and join us in some conversation about the news and events that are taking place. This is just conversation, but it's important that the aspects of the topics that the mainstream media doesn't cover and much of the alternative media or the new media is not covering as well. I want to take a moment just to say thank you so much to Todd from Global Star Radio Network. I want to say thank you so much to JD and Rhonda from HagmanandHagman.com.
Yeah, I want to say thank you
job.
To Rhonda also. I see how you've been working on the emails, and it's a great system and way that you're working that out. So,
yes, and of course, Joe Charles who does the news, and also Eric, the tech over there. What I thought were beads of sweat last night during one of the calls, actually, it must be a fever that's taking place. So, but Eric, thanks for, you know, playing hurt, working hard, and everything you do. Now, just to be clear, you know, there's something, well, North Korea, and in case you haven't seen this, all right.
During the Super Bowl.
Right. North Korea is, they're talking about, launching a nuclear rocket, if you will. I'm going to be careful about
having
this
a nuclear test.
Yeah, you know, it we could be being I guarantee we're all being gamed here. But the Guardian is reporting that North Korea might be launching or might be ready to launch a rocket by the Super Bowl kickoff Sunday, and the satellite images shown on the website on North Korea's or the Guardian website suggest, of course, a launch being timed maybe for the for the beginning of the Super Bowl. Now,
you know how the F-16s and whatnot fly over the venue, the stadium where the game is played. I wonder if the rocket will follow with its flyover.
And I can almost picture that. Y'all, how many have seen Christmas Vacation, where the grandmother starts singing the national anthem, I guess it was, and the rocket's red glare, Santa was coming. Yeah, you know, we can make a light of this, but I think at this point, to have these gremlins, basically, from North Korea, you know, the gnomes, the garden gnomes over there in power, that's not a good thing, because they want to they want to take everybody out. Now, you know, and that nuclear test, the hydrogen bomb, the media and everyone was kind of poo-pooing that, saying, oh, it just didn't work, you know. Well, wait a minute. The fact that they got to this point should be telling anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very much.
I do suspect, by the way, I do believe that probably the Super Bowl is going to be the safest place to be in the world, given the fact they're going to be flying the jets and rocket launchers and, you know, everyone's getting, or maybe the most sitting ducks in the world. I mean, it depends on your perspective, of course. So,
the last football game I went to was with a friend of mine named John, and it was a Bills home opener, probably 5 years ago. And what are those big green army planes?
C-130s, cargo jets.
C-130s.
Cargo planes.
Well, instead of fighter jets, they had these C-130s fly over.
Yeah.
And we were sitting in the upper deck, and I remember the one plane, it was coming in very, very low. And it was wobbly, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, for a split second, I thought that it was going to crash right into the stadium. I mean, it wasn't close. It was still kind of far out. But the way it was coming in, it was like the pilot was shaking and it was descending. And for a split second, I honestly thought we were done for. And, you know, it flew over real low, very loud.
It made your fillings rattle in your teeth, you know.
I can't imagine. I mean, that was a once in a lifetime feeling.
Yeah. Can you tell folks it's Friday? Kind of kick back, laid back a little bit, decompressing. But I will add that should any events take place now, we have to do really is flip a switch and we'll be hot on air. And if anything does happen, regardless if it's Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, or during the Super Bowl, we will take to the airwaves. Now, things that we don't cover, for example, we're not going to be live covering the event in New Hampshire and Iowa. We don't do that. And the reason we don't do that is because that's really a sideshow. Those are carnival barkers.
Actually, the results are already in.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm saying, though, really, you get nothing more than carnival barkers taking sides and talking about the politics and the right and left paradigm and such. And really, it's a distraction to really what's going on in the background. Of course, the Iowa caucus in New Hampshire hid the signing of the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, you know, for that, Obama. And thank you for every member of Congress. That's a problem. Then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, and we talked about North Korea, nuclear power. Now, they give. Getting back to that, they do give a window between February 8th and 25th as to when, you know, most likely it will be launched. However, it goes back to, you know, what's this telling us? Not what the Western media is telling us, but what is this action, this event, in the perspective of the time in which we live? What's this telling us? It's got to be telling us that there's something here that, well, you know, war is imminent. And if it's not clear by the geopolitics, Joe, it's clear by the economy, because how can the economy be sustained? They're going to have war as an excuse to crash the economy.
War has always been an excuse.
Yeah.
In order to generate the financial sector to get it going, or in times of trouble to get it back on track.
Right.
Now, we are at a point in history, unlike any other, with our paper currency, which is the world reserve currency, backed only by petrodollars and the collateral of the land in the U.S. plus ourselves, the working people. It's taken off the gold standard, as we said many times, and it can only fall so far before, I mean, there's an end game in our currency's future. How do we get there? How does it unfold? What happens? Just before the show, we were watching a headline, Chicago to sell its stock exchange to China. I mean, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know those things were up for sale or able to be sold, first of all, let alone.
No.
It's a pattern we see. Half of New York City is owned by China.
Yeah, 49% of the commercial real estate in Manhattan is owned by the Chinese. The Waldorf Astoria sold. I mean, how many people remember that as an iconic building in Manhattan? I was there. In fact, I nearly physically ran into Henry Kissinger at the Waldorf Astoria in 1986. 80, no, that was 80. I'm sorry, it was 80.
Did you get his autograph?
It was in the mid-80s sometime. No, but I don't even know why I mentioned that, except I looked at him and I said hello, and you know, he gave me this Nazi. He gave me this Lou, and and he kept walking, you know. What were you doing? But
that's a good impression.
Hey, punk, what were you going? Yeah, no, I don't want to be silly, but it was just kind of it was interesting because now here we sit and talking about the very people that talking about him. But getting back to the topic, I mean, the commercial real estate in New York City is being sold. You've got these Chinese ghost cities popping up. And I recall speaking with one of our just a good friend from Canada. He was living in the United States, but he's since moved up to Canada, and he was saying, you know, when he was in the U.S., he said, the Chinese are buying up all the cement and plywood. It's just, I mean, it's crazy.
You mentioned that on air. Somebody mentioned that on air.
Yeah.
The supplies.
Yep. But the other thing too, we have to watch, and I, there are certain things, indicators that I believe that we have to watch now. Of course, the TPP for the economic impact that's going to cause. And we're going to see that, obviously, you know, no debate as promised, no 90 days, bang, nope. It's just passed, or, you know, it's just signed on to. And when we were in Washington, D.C., the labor unions now. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see the one-time bedfellows being rearranged, the political alliances being changed. Was it in D.C.? I think we were at D.C. and the big sign that said, where's the text of the bill, or what's in the bill, or something? It was by either the Teamsters or one of the big unions.
I do not remember.
Okay, it was somewhere where. Anyway, the problem with this is, you know, the right left paradigm being shattered. We're seeing, we're on the same side many times with the people who we were antagonistic with politically, or in opposite ideological spectrums, part of the ideological spectrum. So, I guess what I'm saying here, it's. Go back to what George Carlin did said in the 1970s, and not that I recommend anyone, you know, listening to that. However, basically what he said, it's, you know, it's one big party. You're not invited. You're not in it. And it's no longer, you know, it's us versus them. So it's us versus them in all areas now, or them versus us more appropriately. It's bottom line here. The boot of oppression and tyranny is on the throats of the American public. The target, of course, as we discussed all week, kind of a theme here, is the middle class. The perpetrators, the globalists, they're using Tavistockian ideology and methodology to institute or to make us love our servitude. So all of this is, you know, there, and the terrorist events, whether it be from, you can go back into the 80s to the 90s to the to the 2000s, the 9/11. It's just incredible. I should mention this because I don't mention this often. JD, from Hagman and Hagman, he was at Ground Zero on September 11, 2001. If you haven't seen his
Neptune Diaries, is his YouTube channel.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it's just amazing. The people that we meet and that. We get to have, I mean, you know, I'm humbled to be talking about 9/11 with him, and he was there and he saw the thing. I mean, he was right there. The papers were falling on his head.
A true eyewitness account.
Yeah.
Heard the sounds, saw the terror, saw the people jumping out of the buildings, saw the aftermath, the havoc, the panic, the chaos.
Yeah.
Was right in the middle of it, lived it. Which we'll have to have him come on and explain his story one of these days.
Yeah, no, I really think it's going to be important for him to do that. Again, Neptune Diaries. It's just right off of HagmanandHagman.com. I want to mention as well, folks, about let me just address this because I think this is really important, guys, and people, listen up here. Portions of tonight's broadcast, as I mentioned, brought to you by proflowers.com. Well, let me explain something to you. Women like flowers. I don't know any woman that doesn't like to get flowers. Now, some, you know, I know there's some out there saying, oh, don't give me flowers.
My grandma used to not like them because they would die.
Well, your grandmother didn't like a lot of things.
That's true.
Me included, you know. But, no, but flowers do make such a great impression and make people feel so great. Look, we have the Super Bowl this weekend. Well, that's a big game, and think of the coaches there. If you've got the game on the line, wouldn't you put, you wouldn't put some rookie player into play. No, you would tap the best and the brightest and the most capable. Well, in this case, when Valentine's Day is fast approaching, why would you rely on anybody less? The pros at Pro Flowers have everything you need to win this Valentine's Day. I took a picture, and Eric, I'm not sure if you have it or whatever, but I took a picture. Okay, folks, if you're watching this live on YouTube, there's I got my wife flowers via Pro Flowers. Because here's the deal. We don't promote anything that we don't ourselves use or believe in, right? Well, the flowers came today, and a lady thought they were for her, and I took this picture. I think it was, this is in our family room.
That's adorable.
And we set the flowers down, and the lady thought the flowers were for her. Anyway, Pro Flowers, folks, they're offering you, the listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report, a dozen roses plus a free glass vase just for $29.99. What you see right there, minus the dog. Don't be messing with the dog. No, don't be messing with the dog. And if you order by midnight tonight, you get free chocolates too. And you know what? My wife loves the chocolates. Oh, are they good? So here's the deal. And deal it is. Pro Flowers is offering to you, our listeners, a dozen red roses plus a free glass vase for just $29.99. And if you order by Friday, that's today at midnight, you get free chocolates as well. Or really do it up right and upgrade to a romantic long stem roses with a premium vase, chocolates, and a spa kit for just $9.99 more. Go to ProFlowers.com. Use our code Hagman. They're quick. They're easy. Delivery is fast. Delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. The flowers. Look at the flowers. They're guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. It's really a no-brainer. You can't beat the price. You can't beat the convenience. They take care of the details. You get the glory. Oh, my goodness, do you get the glory. I got a big hug from my wife today. And, well, here's a way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. Free. With free chocolates for this week only. Again, it expires at midnight tonight. Go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in Hagman. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in my code Hagman. Order today. The deal expires tonight at midnight. So there you go. Making life easier for the guys and for the people out there. It is romantic, isn't it? Romantic. You don't need a special occasion. You don't need Valentine's Day. Don't wait for Valentine's Day. So there. All right. And I should also mention this. Portions of tonight's broadcast also brought to you by Casper. Casper.com. I think of ghosts when I hear Casper. No, they got great mattresses. Casper.com/CFP radio. Or just go to Hagman.com. Click on the Casper link. That's Casper.com/CFP radio. And there, I failed to mention something the other day, and shame on me, because you talk about a great deal with Casper. Oh my goodness. Well, if you go to Casper.com and enter our code there, which is CFP Radio, if you go to Casper.com/CFP Radio and enter our code CFP Radio, guess what? Guess what, guys? Guess what, people? There's a $50 coupon there.
Can I get cash?
No, against the purchase of the mattress. All folks, right. More on that later. But anyway, getting back to the show, does anyone else have like this funny feeling about the immediate, in the next few months? I'm just going to ask that out there. Spiritually, are you spiritually like thinking there's something not right maybe? You've been thinking that probably forever. I mean, you know, for a long time, but is it getting even deeper and worse? Is this my imagination?
Certain days it does, yes. Certain days it's much lighter than others. But, you know, things are being delivered. Things are being separated. Souls are being won to the Lord. people who had no belief in the Lord whatsoever are being changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, being brought to Him, while those who have claimed that they were believers have been falling away. And as the changing of the spiritual nature of our planet continues, there will be it will be manifest through attitudes, feelings,
yeah,
and other emotions, as emotions are something that are part of our human nature, and we have the ability, not a psychic ability, but an ability,
spiritual ability, I think is what you're getting at, right?
Spiritual ability to pick up on heightened states of spiritual intensification or spiritual warnings, or the lack of spiritual
discernment warnings.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was going on a, I was doing an investigation. I was going on a trip, a short trip. It was only like 40 miles, but I remember this way back when, a number of years ago, and I got a little voice in the back of my head that said, don't go, you know?
We used to get that every day.
Isn't it? Well, yeah, but no, that was like, please make us go, stay home, you know, leaving for New York City and being gone a week and then come back for a couple of days and go back to New York for a week.
Yeah.
And it gets old after a while, but this, you know, this little spiritual voice, or this voice in the back of my head was saying, Don, that you don't want to go. Well, anyway, did anything happen? No, it didn't happen. Did I listen to the voice? Yes, I did. So what's the point of the story? Well, listen to that little inner voice, because some call it intuition, some call it just, you know, gut feeling, whatever it might be. But I do think that as we get closer toward the whatever series of events are going to take us out of here. When I say out of here, I'm talking about, you know, at the end of the age, not the end of the world, but the end of the age. And I'm not referring to rapture. No. I'm just talking about, as we get further down the line in time, I do believe that those voices, that spiritual awakening, that spiritual that prompting is going to become much, much more significant. Now, this is just discussion here, right? But I also believe, ramped up on the other side, is the bad guys, the Luciferian elite, the globalists, they're out there prodding and pushing and foaming at the mouth and wanting to get their agenda pumped in. You know, I don't know, folks. I'm looking at this, and we cannot, and this is important. People look at Bible prophecy and biblical events and saying, well, we can't really do anything about it. We can't change biblical prophecy. That's right. You can't change biblical prophecy. The results are up to God. That what we do, the effort is up to us. But the fact that we cannot change biblical prophecy does not give anyone the right, including us or anyone listening to this program, the blank check to sit home and you know, eat crackers and watch the Super Bowl or you know, without, or it's not a pass for inaction, and nor should it be. So just because that we can't change biblical prophecy does not mean that we shouldn't play our positions. And speaking of the Super Bowl, we have to play our positions. Want to touch on this? I don't know whether you heard this. InfoWars is carrying this, but this, a couple of law enforcement officers had sent this to us here at the Hagman, the Hagman Report. Folks, you can send information if you've got firsthand information to us. Just go to Hagman and Hagman, click on the contact page, and there the information now is being processed faster than ever. But this is something that we need to be paying attention about. Joe, did you see this from InfoWars? Now,
no.
The information that we got, it's a little bit different, okay, than what they have, but it's consistent with the topic.
It's up there right now?
Yeah, it's, excuse me, like I said, we're all kind of fighting these nasty, whatever it is. But a fusion center in Utah is advising law enforcement to be on the lookout for caravans or extremists traveling through the state en route to Arizona to attend the funeral of LaVoy Finicum. Now, I got an email, a couple of emails,
yeah,
saying, well, you didn't talk about Oregon. You didn't talk about Finicum. Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
There's actually a broadcast entitled Oregon Standoff. And then after the incident with Finicum, we did a whole other show on the shooting.
Right, that's right. And we look at this as two different, and people are sending me emails saying, well, you know, don't diss Pete Santilli. I'll have to look. I've talked to Pete on telephone. I know the guy. All right. So, I mean, I'm not dissing him. I'm not even close. I'm questioning a lot of things about the event. There's two, in my view, there's a couple of different events. The event, what happened in Oregon, and then, of course, the shooting.
Yeah.
And they're two, they've got to be looked at separately. Really, because otherwise, one skews the other, and there's such crap being talked about you might disagree with the overtaking or taking over the federal refuge federal land building there in land. But even if you disagree with that, you can't look at that shooting of LaVoy Finicum, and you can't excuse that. I don't care what the hell they were doing there. Okay, yeah. That's an execution.
You're right about the distinctions needing to be made between.
You know what? My wife came in. See, she came in the studio. You want to come on camera? You want to come? Oh, she. Oh, now that's uncalled for.
We can turn one of these cameras around.
That's uncalled for. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, she. What's that? Oh, now it's on. No, I'm joking around. Yeah.
No, but
she brought some coffee. Thank you.
The shooting, death of LaVoy Finicum is a separate instance from the standoff at the wildlife refuge in Oregon. And they're, as you said, they need to be looked at as two separate instances, because the police intervention only happened on that Oregon highway with two vehicles containing members of the militia who were at the wildlife refuge, but the action, again, was separate from the refuge. The cause came from taking over of the refuge, but the way that it was handled completely, you know, uncalled for. They could have resolved it peacefully. And hold on one second. Hey, Renee. That's right over there.
What are we looking for?
The Hagman and Hagman hat. I was wearing it today.
Oh.
And I left it down here.
Well, no. Also, folks, let's. We can't really. I mean, these are just kind of. The hats. There's this great business that I just want to talk about the business that they're putting all this stuff together for us, Megan and her family, doing this.
Megan H, we owe you a phone call.
Not only we owe you a phone call, we owe you a lot, but, you're going to hear more about that later, because we're talking about Christian-owned businesses right now and stuff. So we want to help each other out, and this business, I mean, they've done so much, but the fact is this: what we want to do is a rising tide lifts all boats. And when we look at the landscape of business out there, especially in today's market, the Christian businesses are getting the short shrift of things. And I know that this talk about drifting from the topic,
but okay.
I just want to make sure, since you brought up the hats, I want to make sure that people know that when the time's ready, we're going to be rolling some things out, not just for self promotion, but for also to really. For awareness purposes, because people, I'm going to leave it alone because it's not ready for prime time yet. But I just want
to
mention.
It's all right to say it.
Megan's such a great lady, and the business is so great.
You know, mugs, Hagman and Hagman mugs, shirts, sweatshirts, hats, as well as a few other things. For those who are going to be attending the conference in Dallas, we'll have an opportunity to purchase those. You know, we've been to a number of conferences, and each time we go, every presenter, speaker has their own table, and their table is full of books and other merchandise that they sell.
Useful stuff, right?
Yeah. And we've been to every conference that we've been to, we've had a table.
And the table has had
nothing on it, except bumper stickers or pens that we've given away.
Yeah.
But this time we want to, we have so many requests from listeners to, sell things like Hagman and Hagman shirts, or people ask for ways that they can purchase something from us at the same time support the show.
But see, the way I look at this, and thanks, you know, but the way I look at this is there are two separate issues here. Just like the Oregon situation, you got the shameless self promotion on our part, But you also have the awareness factor and also the Christian businesses, you know, supporting Christian businesses on the other side. So there are two distinctly different situations. Notice how I segued it back into the topic, right? And I kind of used a shoehorn to do that or a crowbar, but getting back to the topic when we drifted off there because my lovely
the
wife
Utah
in the
Fusion
room.
Centers.
Yeah, here's the issue. And I got this, I got this via email from law enforcement officers in Utah who were saying, look, this is big. You ought not to, I mean, you should cover this. You see, the law enforcement agencies throughout the state of Utah have received memorandums via DHS, via the fusion centers, and every state has fusion centers that do what like they do. They fuse together the different law enforcement agencies.
I don't have the number, but last check, there was over 72 or 78 fusion centers in the U.S.
Right. And this, okay, so what they're doing is they're handing out these, like, remember the MIAC report? Well, they're handing out these or providing the law enforcement agencies with memorandums and directives, law enforcement bulletins, actually. And how they're writing these or how they're presenting these is the problem. They're saying law enforcement should remain cognizant of the likelihood and presence of domestic extremists. So anyone attending the funeral of LaVoy Finnegan is a domestic extremist by definition, basically. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and we see these memorandums and the content that they have, such as, you know, the DHS memorandum on anti-abortion extremism or how constitutionalists equate to sovereign citizen movements, which equate to more domestic extremism.
Exactly.
There's, in Utah, I believe it was, there was a sheriff or a officer caught on tape saying, you know, we're looking for the constitutionalists.
And that's the real story here. It's not the fact that the police are tagging the anyone who goes to the funeral of LaVoy Finnegan as a domestic extremist. It's not that. The story is not that. The story is the execution of the plans now, the execution and the implementation of, well, according to one law enforcement official, I'm not going to name him, just on the state level, state police, Utah, saying now, since we have gotten this memo, if it comes to, for example, if I stop, and these are his words now, if I stop a vehicle that is obviously transiting the state en route to the funeral of LaVoy Finnegan, I am to take, I don't want to compromise this officer's, basically it's just a step below a felony stop. And it's based on, absolutely.
So people who have
it's not a felony stop, but it's whatever that would be.
There's no suspicion of criminal activity.
Right.
Yet people attending or going to attend the funeral are being looked at by officers as potential criminal / extremists,
but
without cause.
But what he's saying is, because of the designation by way of from the DHS by way of the fusion centers to our agency and to all of the police departments across the state, any traffic stops, for example, of someone known to be, or let's say they're driving with a Confederate flag or, you know, RIP LaVoy or whatever it might be, whatever outside or obvious.
What about a crescent?
Well, no, that's okay. You could be having the you know, ISIS flag and you're okay. But if you've got the American flag and the Constitution, you're a terrorist. I guess the story is not the designation because we all know that. But now they're enforcing the enforcement of the stops. So they're telling the police officers, wait a minute, treat this as not quite a felony stop, but just below it. So watch out because these people, number one, are armed, they're crazy, and they're dangerous. They pose a threat to you and the communities.
And the felony stops are so much different than regular police stops. Felony stops are done at gunpoint. They're done, you know, almost under, it would be like you are a fugitive wanted by the federal authorities and you are being stopped in a car.
Right. Now, it's interesting because, no, I don't think I'd get in trouble by saying this, the officer who sent me this email, who asked, he said, please don't publish anything about me, you know, And I don't view that as a cop out. I view that as a source who wants to remain anonymous and a source that can give me additional information, you know. Well, you get these people saying, well, if they were really a patriot, they would tell you, they'd let you post everything. Well, no, because sometimes an unidentified asset is a lot better or bigger of an asset in, you know, in while working. So anyway, yeah, the bottom line here is, again, no one should be surprised about the designation, but now they're moving to handle us, the patriots, as enemy combatants, nearly enemy combatants, nearly felons. And if you ever had been involved in a felony stop, oh boy. Yeah, let me tell you.
So what, somebody who's associated with somebody who has been labeled a domestic extremist, whether the evidence proves they were or not, now attending their funeral equates to you being under suspicion?
That's right. And you watch the drone. Look, this is the other one I got, the drone activity, the surveillance of the funeral. Okay, there's going to be surveillance. Here it is. Everyone going to the funeral and everyone going to the funeral, everyone at the funeral, the event will be under law enforcement surveillance.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I mean, not that really should come as a surprise to anyone, but federal law enforcement surveillance, meaning the DHS and the FBI, when I say DHS, I'm talking about the ground level agents at the agents at the ground level operating with the FBI. And certain members of the state police. But a lot of police officers now who are oath keepers, and this source is, are saying, hey, we're not going to take part in this.
Good for them.
So, you know, but they have to be careful not to, not because of, to save their jobs, but because they don't want to
alienate themselves.
Well, they don't want to identify themselves. At least not yet, because they will, of course. And I know, happen to know the individual who, we're talking about the categorization of the traffic stops, but for example, they don't want to out themselves. They don't want to make themselves known, but they will do so if they are told to go to conduct an unlawful order like an oath keeper. Okay, so in fact, this oath keeper, he's an oath keeper. So,
all right, with just a few minutes left in this hour, there's two pieces of news I think are critical that we should hit before we are joined by author Dan Goodwin, his book, God's Final Jubilee. This one caught my attention, and I'm sure you're interested in it as well. Benghazi committee, Dems, gave thousands in bonuses while blasting probes cost.
There you go.
But there's something in here that's...
follow the money.
That's really surprising. Democrats on the House committee probing the 2012 Benghazi terror attacks awarded tens of thousands of dollars in bonuses to their staff.
Yeah.
While at the same time repeatedly attacking Republicans over the rising cost of the investigation. According to public reports that are available, $33,600 was given to six staffers at the end of 2014 and 2015. While the bonuses make up only a fraction of the patient's total expenses to date, critics suggested that they undermine the minority members' complaints about the budget. Now, it goes on to state that Democrats complain the committee's investigation, established in May 2014, has gone on longer than the 9/11 Commission's review of the 2001 terrorist attacks.
Yeah, okay.
And accused Republicans of using the committee as a political weapon to attack the 2016 Democrat frontrunner Hillary Clinton, who was Secretary of State at the time. just the fact that this investigation has been ongoing and has gone on longer than the 9/11 investigation.
But see, because why though? It's because they're stretching out. They're weaponizing this investigation. They're using it as a political weapon. That's not to say that. I mean, look, Benghazi is a crime.
Yes, so
what happened, and a crime at the highest of levels involving Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, and Chris Stevens. You know, folks, the weapons running, the training of the but see, everyone put their faith in the Citizens Commission on Benghazi. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, we're gonna get to the bottom of it. Are you kidding me?
About that,
you talk about infiltration. You talk about infiltration.
Yeah.
Enough said there. I'm not gonna
go
further on that.
You warned about that from the beginning.
Huh?
You warned about Trey Gowdy, you warned about where it would go, which was nowhere. Why it would go nowhere. And why we'd be where we are today. Twiddling our thumbs, wondering why nothing has been done, no actions have been taken, no indictments have been brought, no conclusions have been made. yet this investigation has gone on longer than the 9/11 Commission's review.
It's easy to extend an investigation or to have an investigation last this long when every, we'll just say toll booth. Picture the investigation as like a interstate, or like the Pennsylvania Turnpike. You've got a toll booth, you know, at times every few miles, but it's in the toll booths are the bribes and the, you know, we are the passengers in the vehicles going down the interstate, and the toll takers are the investigators, the support staff of the committees and the people involved in the investigators themselves, you know, the lawmakers.
This caught my eye today. City, world economy seems trapped in death spiral. The global economy seems trapped in a death spiral that could lead to a further weakness in oil prices, recession, and serious equity bear markets, according to Citi strategists, who have warned. Some analysts, including those at Citi, have turned bearish on the world economy this year following an equity rout in January and a weaker economic data out of China and the U.S. The world appears to be trapped in a circular reference death spiral.
Huh.
City strategies led by Jonathan Stubbs said in a report Thursday. I wonder how long until he'll suicide himself with a staple gun.
A nail gun.
Yeah.
Staple gun would be a little longer and a little bit more ugly, but nonetheless.
They say stronger U.S. dollar, weaker oil commodity prices, weaker world trade petroleum liquidity, weaker EM and global growth, and repeat, add inflation. This would lead to oil-mageddon.
Oil-mageddon.
A significant synchronized global recession in a proper modern-day equity bear market. They go on to say that crude oil prices have tumbled around 70% since the middle of 2014, during which time the U.S. dollar has risen by 20% against the basket
of currencies.
Of course,
it's risen. Yeah, I'm just so glad it has, because a strong dollar.
But a 20 buys me a whole loaf of bread.
Yeah, well, you can throw a quart of milk in there, but it's just ridiculous. But
they go on to say that this is fundamental to avoiding a proper full global recession, which would bring dangerous disorder across not only financial markets but population centers. The stakes are high, they say, perhaps higher than they've ever been in the post-World War II era.
Well, this what we're seeing, and folks, you know this, we're seeing the ushering in of, we're seeing the war on cash, we're seeing the termination, the orchestrated takedown of the U.S. Currency, the U.S. dollar. You've got, and I'll just point this out again, the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which is the architect of, well, behind the power structure, behind the Feds and the IMF, and that the exchange, the ESF, and all credit goes to the author at this marketskeptic.com. He did 5 videos about the ESF, the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Folks, if you have the opportunity, watch those 5 videos. You'll understand at that point exactly how we've been subjugated economically and how things are going to play out in the economic world via TPP, which no one's talking about again, but nonetheless. So it's all here. It's all together. This is the New World Order's final throws. Now, how long does some might ask, how long does this part of the game last? How long is a quarter in this? It's flexible. We know about how long it could be, or we suspect, but the bottom line here, it's dependent upon their timing, not ours. And it's, as we mentioned yesterday, the Tavistock Institute, they've got to brainwash enough people to accept the servitude so they don't have to kill everybody. They can just kill most of us, right? So,
and I think they've been very successful at doing that. We are
90 seconds away.
Closely approaching the top of the hour. On the other side of this break, Dan Goodwin, author, speaker, will be joining us. He's been a speaker at many events, from Paul McGuire's God TV to Prophecy in the News. And we, as we said, interviewed him for the DVD in Prophecy of the News last year. He was a speaker down there. He's been a full-time evangelist since 1983, the year I was born. So he's been an evangelist as long as I've been alive, 32 years. He's pastored several churches and authored several books and has been a full-time evangelist since 2003. And we're going to talk with him about his book, God's Final Jubilee.
I'm going to ask him some questions here, because I want to know about a couple of things that he had said. Remember, he was a guest on our show before.
Twice. He's been a guest 2 times on our show. And he says he loves our audience. The feedback he gets is great. It's always fun. And we're going to hear from him next, right after these short messages. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be right back.